Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, cuz, heard you're having money problems. Listen, I got the answer. You declare bankruptcy, all your problems go away.
Mike Shope.
Never declared bankruptcy.
Mike Shope.
Gets in trouble. He transfers his debt to
the Bulldog.
In Monopoly, you go bankrupt, you lose.
You don't go by Monopoly, man. That game is nuts. Nobody just picks up get-out-of-jail-free cards. Those things cost thousands.
That is a good point.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I declare bankruptcy!
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
That is one way to do that, right there. Just declare it. Old school, baby. All right, continuing here. Derek Anderson on the Bills, will he play? LeSean McCoy on the Bills, will he stay? Oh, how good was that, Bulldog? Come on, you've got a long career in this business. You must have appreciated that.
Pretty nifty.
Wow, right? Yeah. That's what you're all thinking?
Mm-hmm.
Here is Tim on WGR. Hello, Tim.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Okay, thanks for calling us.
Good. I was looking at Ben Roethlisberger's stats from 2004 as a rookie quarterback. I know it's been a certain amount of years already. You know, things have changed. But if you look at his average, it's 187 yards passing per game. They ran the football a majority of the time.
How good was their defense?
Their defense was very good.
That's why they ran it all the time. Did they have Jerome Bettis on their team yet or by then or no? It was not Bettis. We're post-Bettis, I think.
We don't have all the talent that team had, but the model is kind of what I liked about this last game. He's not ready. I mean, they brought him in the lineup before he was ready. But us going away from him now, I don't think it's a good solution for us long term. We have to find out what this kid has, so that we can, you know, see if we can progress in the future. We can't always go for the short fix. I agree with Mike with if we go away from him, that it just puts us further behind.
Yeah, I think we both kind of think that. Thank you, Tim. The 0-4 Steelers, Jerome Bettis was on the team. He rushed for almost 1,000 yards, and their defense was first in the league
right. In
points allowed right. And yards allowed.
Yeah, he's there.
That's why they ran it all the time.
He's still there when they win the Super Bowl 2 years later in Detroit, I think.
Okay, Bettis right. Yeah, the next season.
Yeah, no, yeah, a year later then. Yeah.
There it is.
Deuce right. Staley also ran for 800 yards that season for them.
Yeah. Guys, we know this one by now, right? Don't look at total yards. Please don't look at total yards. I got into a thing yesterday. It's my own fault for... Shouldn't I want to engage with people? Isn't that the job? Isn't that how life should be? I don't want to say I got into a thing. I was baited, and so I took it, which I don't want to feel that bad about. But, you know, score effects. Come on, 2018. Google this stuff. It's not just that a guy threw for 180 yards a game. What were the circumstances? If they're ahead all the time, they're not passing.
But he wasn't asked to do much, right? Bottom line, whether score effects, how good their defense, he didn't do a lot that year, and he developed into this guy over time that throws it 50 times a game and is one of the most prolific passers of the generation. And like, I don't know if that's going to happen with Josh Allen, and the Bills definitely do not have that running game, nor do they have that defense. Although the defense has been pretty good for 3.5 games now. They're not about to morph into the 2004 Steelers, but Allen should still play despite his struggles. He should just keep playing, is what should happen here. And anything besides that, to me, is a mistake. That's where I'm at.
I agree, but isn't maybe the thing happening that was foreseeable and one of the challenges and one of the I guess, difficulties with this plan. And that's, okay, well, let's see here. You want to be better than Tyrod Taylor. How do you accomplish that? I guess we really should draft somebody. So this is not going to be an essay or commentary on trading up in the draft, which is provably a bad idea, and they did over and over. Not this time. Sorry. You want to be better than Tyrod Taylor? Okay. So we're going to draft a quarterback in the first round. We had to have a certain one. We moved up to we can get a certain one. We did that. Well, it was totally foreseeable, especially given what the roster looked like objectively, that they would struggle.
Yeah, and that the quarterback would probably be worse than Tyrod Taylor was even last year.
Totally. I mean, I said most people would have predicted it.
Yep, sure.
So what are you going to do about it when that happens? If that happens, what are you going to do about it? And maybe what they'll do about it is not the thing you're worried about them doing, which is to take him out. Maybe they won't do that. Maybe what Anderson is, you know, maybe at Bills.com or something, is what he will actually be, which is just, you know, a mentor. I don't know why you need a uniform for that, but okay, maybe that's what will happen here. And we can all relax. But it was all foreseeable, you know. Who are the wide receivers? You've run off, traded wide receivers, you know, chosen not to sign them, cut them in week two. Like, you've done that. You had difficulty on the offensive line, and that was somewhat beyond their control, but not entirely. You know, this is the job. Put the roster together. Put the team together. You had the draft. You're trading those draft picks, using them on Edmonds and so on, Harrison Phillips. Guess who you're not drafting? Good offensive players. So it's all part of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was to be expected. The smart money was on this, pretty much, if Allen were to play. And further, they probably didn't want him to. But they thought so much of Nathan Peterman that he won that, and then he was unplayable. Somehow they made that judgment. So this was all out there as a possibility, and they have won a couple games. They're not even 0-5 or 1-4. Like, they have won a couple games. But you still see the worst passing numbers in the NFL, the worst offensive numbers in the NFL. It's not close. So were you prepared? Were the Bills prepared for this? Maybe. I mean, you can't just say no, they weren't.
You can't?
Well, I don't know if they wanted Derek Anderson a long time ago or their, you know, whatever they were doing. I don't know. Go ahead. What am I going to do?
Well, they look at least really ill-prepared. Because if you I feel like I've just said this like 100 times today already, and I know it hasn't been that many times. If you wanted to insulate him, then insulate him. Like, maybe the biggest blind spot the organization has, McDermott has, is Nathan Peterman. And thinking like that was going to be insulating Josh Allen. Because that's hilarious. But I mean, there couldn't be a bigger miss than that. And if they didn't have that stumbling block, then maybe Derek Anderson or some other version of him is here, and that guy credibly is going to play and isn't going to get lit on fire in the first half against Baltimore, and you've insulated your rookie until your line is fully formed, until you get some skill position players that actually scare people and might be able to help Josh Allen do the thing he does best, which is throw the ball over them there mountains. Maybe. But you didn't do any of that. It looks haphazard.
Yeah.
And if Anderson serves some purpose besides just holding Josh Allen's hand, and I'm sorry I said it that way because that sounds disparaging. I respect the idea of having someone here to help him. Great. But if there's any bigger plan than that at work here, they're bungling this is what they're doing. Because you've put the kid in, and then you're going to yank him out. And, yeah, we all can see what's going on. It's bad. I still think you stay the course. Like, his development should be the thing. And I don't think you're helping him develop by taking him out. I think the things that he needs to work on, like, I've come around to this. But I didn't want him to play right away. I respected taking your time with raw, project-y quarterback guy. But he started playing, and I think you keep going with what you've seen so far. Pulling him out now, I don't know, man. I just think it's really tough to find your way back there and not have it end up like, I don't know, so many other guys. Like, what you mentioned, the guys here earlier, like, and the Browns, Brady Quinn, any guy that like gets the gig, then gets pulled out. Oh no, he's still in the plans. Good luck with that. I mean, just really, good luck with that. It just seems like those guys, I don't know what the hit rate on guys who play early, lose the job, and then get the job back is, but it can't be high.
Can you think of, there might be examples, we should probably try. Like, think of the quarterbacks in the league now. Are any of them that, for their own for the same team? Like, doesn't matter if he goes to another team and plays, for this team. Like, is anybody that guy? Who's that guy? Jared Goff didn't get replaced. He just waited.
He waited and was bad, but they stayed with him, and he started the second year and was great.
Is there a starting quarterback in the league that was replaced on, you know, because of performance and then went back in?
On the same team, no.
You got one?
Alex Smith comes to mind.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Lost the job in San Francisco, was pretty good, helped them get to the playoffs, lost the job the following year, and then went to Kansas City and was pretty good, but he never got the job back in San Francisco.
Bortles really never came out. Andy Dalton really never came out. Mariota came close maybe, but never really came out. Derek Carr never came out. No, those they just hung in there. You got to have success pretty soon for it to. I mean, we said it every day. When you do this, you got to have success pretty soon. And again, maybe that's going to happen here. Like some switch will get flipped, and they'll have that. But you have signed up for this. You have signed up for hard yards here. No pun intended. Here is Tyler next. Hi, Tyler.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for calling.
For sure, yeah. So I'm calling. I'm chiming in on the discussion about McDermott you had a few minutes ago. I want to take it a little bit deeper and talk about ownership. It just seems like they stick with this like super family kind of environment that's what they're looking for with the team, with the coaches. And I'm all for that. But between it's been three coaches now, maybe not Marone as much, but with Ryan and McDermott, they strive for these player coaches, and it just doesn't seem to translate onto the field. And I love what they've done with, like, the marketing aspect of it and the One Buffalo and all that stuff. But at what point do we kind of come off the high of them buying the Bills and keeping them in Buffalo and start to actually assess them as sports teams owners? And that's all. I just want to get your feedback on that.
Well, I've done that from the first day. I mean, they are the owners of the teams. When they bought the Bills, they had bought the Sabres. I mean, I've always sort of looked at it that way, you know? I mean, I was grateful for the community's sake, you know, but I've always looked at it that way, right? Why wouldn't you?
I mean, there's no point in time where you start doing that. I think that's just been happening. What happens is you might less and less frequently feel like making the point about how grateful you are because they're just the owners and they're not the owners that swooped in and alleviated all the angst you had specifically about the football team leaving.
It's also for profit,
but when you get into it, like they're just the owners of the team now. Should it go without saying? I think that you're grateful for what place they hold in the community and what they've done in the area. It's been great, but you got to win some games. You got to hire some people that know what they're doing and have a plan that you can really get behind. And you know, I don't know. We're at a point here with their dual ownership where we're celebrating them winning a second game in a row to make them 2-1 in a hockey season. That's about how well it's gone so far. I mean, it's pretty bad.
They did make the playoffs. A lot of this, I have to say, or I want to say, a lot of this attitude from me and I think from us today is on spec. I mean, it is still, like, are they really going to put Derek Anderson on the field, which they have not yet done? The coach was asked about that today. He said third string. Like, they have not done that. What is McDermott's record, 11-11 or 11-10? Like, that's not bad. You know, so they were in the playoffs last year. I'm feeling a little bit of sort of that should be said. I feel like that should be said. in this. I am not optimistic, but I think that is the truth. The truth is they did have a surprisingly good record last year. So, you know, you can point to that and take confidence from that if you, you know, desire. Demetrius is with us. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I'm a long-time listener, and I just wanted to comment. I heard the guy talk about how Coach McDermott is about his face, and I think that's the one thing I like about him, because we've had superior teams in the past with superior talent, and we could never break into the playoffs. But last year, we broke into the playoffs because we have a team that believes in each other and seem to have some type of a faith base. So when things get hard, they have a foundation to build from upon. I just wanted to share that and see what you guys thought about it.
Thank you. Well, there are a lot of ways to explain how they made the playoffs.
They did. They did come back from three horrible midseason losses, one that included the benching of their quarterback, and recovered. And I might grant anybody that wants to make the point that that's a testament to a team that's tight and that is buying into what the coach is doing. But with all that said, they needed a miracle fourth down pass from the Bengals to get in the playoffs. But they did recover from the kind of thing that has annihilated other Bills seasons, where like you get games in the middle of the season and there's just no turning back. Like, oh my God, the coach is getting fired now. And, you know, that was never going to happen to McDermott in year one anyway, but, like, just seasons that just spiral. And they were spiraling and stopped.
I know this is going to sound funny. Whether or not you made the playoffs is not the best way to evaluate your year, because whether or not you made the playoffs depends on other teams. It's what matters most, but it's not, like, the best measure of how you did. Without the Bengals, you don't have it. The Bills have had better teams than last year's team. You know, I disagree with the caller in this way, but they missed the playoffs. Why? Because the conference was better. Because, like, look at that tiebreaker and how weird it is that the Ravens and Chargers were both in that tiebreaker, and yet the Bills got in. The Charger team that beat them by 30 points or something. So there's too much of the outside going. Your record is fine. I'd rather even use, like, per play than that, but most people will use that. So that they made the playoffs is, you know, largely about the rest of the league, you know, the rest of the conference. Ryan is next. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, thanks. I don't think this is going to work out.
No, I don't. We can't hear you, Ryan. I don't even know how Bulldog knew what the first question was. I didn't hear anything there. I did not hear words there.
I just heard the phone do that thing it does when it's going away.
And you assumed he was asking us how we were. Because he went...
Oh, yeah,
and
no,
you went, we're
no,
good.
I did hear how... Yeah,
you got that?
I heard how are you. Yeah.
You didn't just assume that was his question?
Well, I might have
it
assumed.
Probably was his question.
I might have assumed it.
Yeah.
But I felt like that's what I heard. I could have been wrong. My ears are shot.
You think... Really?
Yeah,
you got ears problems?
I got ear problems? I got ear problems.
Joe, you hear about this?
Not making a joke? It is alarming. I got to get... It's not irreversible. I need some attention. I need to go in. I need to go see the guy. I need some doctor time. It's all right. It's fine. It's not, again, I don't want to alarm anyone. It's not a big deal. It's just my ears are messed up right now. They'll be okay again someday.
You're like Ray in Field of Dreams, and everybody else is starting to get word in the store that you saw people walking around in your yard.
Right.
Did you hear about Ray?
Right.
He heard voices. That's what it was. He heard voices. Right. You're at the hardware store right now, and people
are I'm getting a bunch of feed.
Talking about you.
Right.
Yeah. Ray heard voices out on his farm. That movie holds up. I mean, it's got its problems, but I still cry at the end. Like, that movie holds up.
I love that movie.
It's a top Field of Dreams.
Top 10, if not top 5 movie for me.
All movies or just baseball movies?
All movies. I love
Come
that
on.
Movie.
It's yes. not. Come yeah. on. No. Top 5?
I said top 10, maybe top 5. Easily top 10.
Never seen it.
Such an old movie for
Joe. I'm sure Kyle's over there. I'm sure Kyle's seen it. It's baseball.
Well, let me tell you what happens. There's this character.
Here's everything.
named Luke. And, like, he wants to be a Jedi. And so, like, the whole bunch of stuff happens. And at the end, it turns out that the guy he's fighting is his father. That's Field of Dreams.
I think I've seen that. Yeah. Maybe I just didn't know it was Field of Dreams.
Then they make a bunch of other ones kind of, you know, about the same
thing. Field of Dreams prequel be good? How they came to buy the farm?
No.
More on their college lives together?
Yeah, no. No.
Would there be a good story there?
Definitely not. We watched...
No?
What did we watch the other night? We watched Solo the other night in our house. I can see this is Monday night. I agreed to... So I'm back to Star Wars. The baseball game was starting. The Red Sox game was starting with the Yankees, and I was the only one in the house who cared about watching it. And my younger son had been hoping to watch Solo all day, so I said, "You know what? TBS has an app. I'll sit here with everyone. We'll watch Solo. I'll turn the sound off on my iPad, and I'll watch the ball game on here." And so we did that. So I don't know how Solo ended. I only watched like the first 45 minutes to an hour. Did you see that yet?
No, it's the only Star Wars movie I have not seen, actually. Okay. I think I know how it ends. He probably finds Luke Skywalker, and it's a prequel. Wouldn't you know how it ends?
Is that what we're doing here? We're just talking about movies that we think of and talking about how they end?
I don't know.
Sorry. Is that what we're doing right now?
I'm sorry that we ended here. It started out with I'm going deaf.
Yes. That was interesting.
But not really.
We will talk about the Bills some more at 803-0550 after this break. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, lines open for you here on WGR.
Time to announce the final WGR win cash code word of the day. And this hour's code word is soccer. S-O-C-C-E-R. You have until the top of the hour to text soccer to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Message and data rates may apply to the National Win Cash Contest on WGR Sports Radio 550.
I mean, they're getting turnovers. Those guys are flying to the ball, playing very well, playing together. The chemistry looks real good, and those guys are, you know, just trusting what the coaches are, you know, prepping them up for. You know, they never quit. They always fighting to make the offense make a mistake, and a lot of offenses do that. So we got to make sure we contain that and focus on our job and do what we got to do in this game plan.
Deshaun Watson, the Bills get him Sunday. Talked to Kyle Williams about the quarterbacks the Bills have faced and will face this year. Flacco, say what you want, a ring. Rivers, Canton.
I think so, yes.
Kirk Cousins, big dollars. Aaron Rodgers, an all-time great. Marcus Mariota, high pick.
Yep.
Deshaun Watson, high pick. Not as high. Not as high as even Josh Allen. But national championship, decorated. Andrew Luck, many of these things. Tom Brady, there's the first half.
Right.
Keep going.
Yeah,
Trubisky.
Well, Trubisky's right after that, and he's, what, number two overall?
Yep.
You know, not that he's made or anything, but whatever. High pick. Darnold's after that. High pick. Bortles is after that. High pick.
Keep going. You get to Stafford here.
It's
soon.
You're skipping Tannehill, who was
seventh,
same as Allen. Then Darnold again, and then Stafford, and then you're back to Tannehill to finish the year, I think.
Right? And Brady again.
Brady again, right. They left Brady out a second time.
Wow. So there, who is the least anything? Like, you either have. Maybe Deshaun Watson at 12th. It's like you either have a Super Bowl or like let's make it yards. Like Flacco would join Rivers, and like there's a career totals threshold that those guys would have achieved. You know, so too Stafford, I suppose, but he's also first overall. Brady, of course. Rodgers, I said. Cousins, maybe. I don't know. Cousins, maybe. The Cousins part is that he got paid. Like
he got paid. He's a fourth-round pick.
Yeah.
He's not decorated. He's thrown for yards.
Well, they beat him, though. That's why.
Right.
That showed.
Right.
No.
Right.
Yeah. Everybody else is like a first-rounder or a great.
Yep.
Or both. Yeah. How about that?
Mm-hmm. It's almost like teams in the league draft quarterbacks high.
Yeah.
It's almost,
this team did that.
It's almost like that.
This team did that.
Yep. Finally did it. Now they're going to bench him for Derek Anderson. No, they're not.
They might. Here's Joe. Hi, Joe.
How you guys doing?
Great.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. I was hesitant to say great because I'm sort of getting...
We are doing well. Yeah, we are always good.
To be very, very optimistic, I'm not really bummed about this move anyway. I think possibly, well, I don't think, I think the stats provide it. We have a top 10 defense right now, correct?
I mean, I don't know. It's five games. The second half of games, teams are just running up the middle to protect leads.
It probably makes sense that they are that. I think they've played very well for 3.5 games now, and they were 15th going into last week, and they gave up 200 yards. So I would think that they probably climbed again.
Maybe our regime thinks that maybe it could be possibly a top five defense, and they need a little bit more support from the offense to be a little bit more competitive. And it makes sense to get a veteran in there. Obviously, they say to help Josh Allen, but I mean, if we can get, you know, I would say 17 points out of our offense a game, I think they feel like they can win a lot of games.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, I don't know, of course, but they might.
I mean, I don't think it's a bad move at all. I just think they're staying with it, staying the course, so they say. They're not really blowing anything up. They're adding pieces to it to get better, I think. And I think I trust what they're doing. I really do.
You're on board with this?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. How many times do we have to go over how defenses don't stay good? You know, like...
If you're going to sit the guy, Josh Allen, to let him see it, I'm sure he's going to get that. He was supposed to sit anyway.
Well, this is also flawed. I mean, there are guys that were described, you know, that were hopefuls that didn't get good. I mean, it's not like it's automatic or anything, but... Hey, good. I'm not trying to talk you into not being optimistic. Right, you're optimistic. Right. Good for you.
We just ran through the quarterbacks they're going to play. How many games is it reasonable to think that they can hold opposing offenses to 17 points? Are these next two games on the list? Because if you're starting the list, these next two games better be on it. And if they're not, then I don't think you have a list.
They held Green Bay at 22. That's a pretty good offense.
Yeah, that's right.
On the road.
So your answer is yes here?
I think they could do it. I think it's a defensive-led team, which is I'm all right with because defense wins championships.
I think it's very, very hard in 2018 to expect to win games by holding teams that are proficient at passing the ball to 17 points. I just don't think you're going to be able to do it game in, game out. I think it's going to be hard. I think teams that are good at passing are going to exploit you eventually.
The only thing that scares me is Brady, but he has off games. He's getting old.
Okay, Joe, thanks for listening to the show. Defense will never stop winning championships, even when, let's just say, for 2 years in a row, quarterbacks go for 500 yards and the score is in the 40s. And, no, well, you know, guys... Defense, though, that's really where it's at. Like, nothing could happen in the NFL that would change defense wins championships guy, like that would move him off defense wins championships. I mean, it's like your first words, maybe not Joe in this case, but like, right? It's just in blood, it's branded into your soul. Defense wins championships. Holy cow. I don't know. Maybe they are good. You know, like I just would not take seriously what has happened here for trying to project that. You can look. It's not nothing, but you want to take into account everything that's happened, which is that they have had two games, not really three, two games where the second half was totally meaningless and nobody's going to throw on them. Baltimore wasn't going to throw on them 33-0. Who was it? Chargers are not going to throw on them 35-3 or whatever that was, 31-3. So that's a full game where nothing, like you didn't have yards against probably. You didn't have as much,
uh-huh.
But it's not like it tells you anything about how good you really are. So I don't know. I'm not saying they're bad. They're bad. I think the important thing to know is that it's hard to sustain defense in the league year to year. We make this point constantly. I make this point constantly. It's very hard to do that. A defense that can stay at or near the top of the league for 3 years not these days has done something really incredible. I mean, you have free agency and you also have a sport that is so tilted toward offense. So good luck sustaining that level. Like, an elite defense maybe can do that.
Right.
Well, maybe Jacksonville's in the middle of that. Maybe Seattle was able to do that. Yep. Denver came kind of close. You might have a team in the league that can do that. If that is what you are going with, though, as a philosophy, you're in trouble.
I don't need it to be year to year. Like, just looking at this year, that's why I started with the Houston and Indy games. Like, Houston has been at times with Watson prolific. So has Indianapolis. But what are they right now? Are they injured? Are they gonna light you up? If they don't, I've got New England twice. Detroit passes the ball and throws for lots of yards. Beyond that, I'm talking about Tannehill and Darnold, the Jaguars and the Bears. I don't know. Like, the back half of their schedule, while those guys are high picks, we just ran through all that, those aren't teams that have to just jump you out of the gym offensively. So, I don't know. I don't think you're winning anything that way either, but this schedule could, like, this is something that tilts you in favor of them putting Anderson in, because they think they're going to be in good enough shape to actually take a run at having last year again.
That's where that guy was.
Yeah.
That's where that caller was. Like, this is to win this year. And, you know, maybe they will. Nate is next. Hello, Nate.
Hello. I cannot take one more conversation about this. Trust the process. Don't think critically about what we're doing, basically, is what that means. You build this team with an offense. You build the league. The league is building offense. Kansas City's defense stinks for all intents and purposes, and they're 5-0. The Rams' defense has underperformed, and they are 5-0. These teams can go up and down the field. That is the way that the team should have been built from the beginning. So all of this, this window dressing of Derek Anderson, whatever that means. I mean, this is just, I'm just shaking my head at how ridiculous the idea of Derek Anderson being on a team to improve it sounds. in light of it, this is just so, and for everyone that continues to drink the Kool-Aid that Sean and Bean know what they're doing, like, at what point do you look critically and go, they have traded every universally known talented player because they didn't fit whatever mantra that they're going with. They've said outright that talent is undervalued in the face of the right type of player or whatever it was wording wise. This is becoming a sham pulled over the eyes of Bills fans who are clinging to someone that knows what they're doing. And I am at the point that this team does not know what to do to build a modern NFL team. This is just another move in this vein of we'll get it together with this guy. Give me a break.
Nate, wow, bringing some fire. Some sparkle, or what is it? Sizzle? I never remember. No sparkle. Spritzer! When am I going to remember that? Big spritzer there from Nate. When am I going to remember? It's always sparkle for me. I just don't have a thing. Like, I can't picture spritzer. Can you picture spritzer?
No.
I just picture sparkle.
Yeah. Or sizzle.
What is spritzer?
I don't think it really makes any sense.
Is it even a word?
It's a little kid.
Yeah, it's a little kid. Is it even a word? Like spritzer?
It's like
what
a,
is it?
It's like a wine drink. Wine spritzer.
A wine spritzer. Like, yeah. Wine with bubbles?
Yeah, right. Right. Wine with some carbonated something added to it. I don't know.
Spritzer is a tall, chilled drink usually made with white wine and a carbonated water, sparkling mineral water.
Wrong again! Nah, not really. I just felt like yelling.
At least you heard him.
Yes.
Here's Fred next. Hello, Fred.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Fred.
I wanted to ask you, I wanted to kind of get your opinion, because I've been listening about, hearing you guys talk about Anderson. I wanted to see kind of what you thought, you know, what would your thought be if we got Anderson before the start of the season? Would you have wanted him to start at that point, or do you still think they'd be better off with Allen?
No, I have said from the moment they drafted Josh Allen that he should be the starting quarterback. So that's what I would have done.
I would have bought Anderson playing.
Is everybody else here too?
I would have bought a veteran coming in here if it was like a part of the plan originally. I would have bought into that. Sure.
Okay, but you would still want Allen to start then?
Now I do, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is Anderson here and someone else not here?
What'd you say?
Is Anderson here in your hypothetical and someone else not here?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, if Peterman was never, you know, in the conversation, it was just Anderson and Allen from the jump, you know, would we have wanted Josh to start, or would we have wanted Anderson to play out the year and have Josh be on the bench?
I would have wanted Josh Allen to play almost no matter what else. I mean, that's what, to me, this strategy called for. You want to put him in and see what he is, and you give that a requisite amount of time. You give that a certain amount of time. That's a year or 2 years. You're going to give that a chance before you do what you would rather not do, which is replace him. So you're going to give it, you're going to give it the most time. You've got him cheap. Once he graduates to his next contract, it's a different ball game. You can put, theoretically, a good team around him because he doesn't cost a lot. And if he's good, well, then you're in great shape. Then you can be the Bears or the Rams or these teams right now that have a lot of talent and a cheap quarterback. It's the new recipe. But, you know, you can't – it's harder to do that with $50 million or whatever it is in dead money, some of which, you know, or much of which was – what they chose by trading guys away, trading Darius away, and just eating all that and taking up all that space this way. You could also have had those guys on your roster and still had to pay them. They would still have, you know, cost mm-hmm. you, but you would have them, and the Bills decided not to do that in his case and in other cases. So, yeah, like I've said from the whole time, he should have been the quarterback. To me, the idea of evaluating that in the preseason is ridiculous, and, you know, you just do your best. That does not go over well, I think, with veteran players who are in the league only for a few years, usually. And so how good your team is today is very important to them.
I think the big takeaway here to me, I would have supported a veteran like Anderson here to avoid, well, what we're talking about now potentially happening, which is Allen having to play because the kid that you thought was going to play in his stead was a tire fire. And so you had to put Allen in because you had no alternative, and now you might think you got to take him out. And I think that makes you look ridiculous.
Sneaky Joe tonight. We'll find out what he's up to. I'm sure it'll be sneaky. Stay tuned. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Coach, you feel like you're playing for the top seed in the AFC with this game, that the stakes are that big?
I feel like we're playing Kansas City.
Does it seem like a higher stakes game than normal?
I feel like we're playing Kansas City.
Okay. Always makes me feel good to hear Bill Belichick fend off probing important questions like that. Would have pained him to say anything more. Joe, what do you have on tap tonight?
Talk a little bit more about Derek Anderson. Maybe toss in a little bit about pizza toppings that came up on the show last night, so we'll see how things go. That's about it.
Okay.
See if there's any update on that.
Yeah, somebody called pepperoni overrated and became this whole thing, but...
All right, well...
We'll see. We'll see if that comes up again.
We'll see. Yeah, you have to let it breathe.
Well, yeah, I would probe more, but I don't want to take time away from you by doing so. So I won't ask any more questions.
It's still me talking, like, whatever.
Guillotine talk or no?
Guillotine talk? Oh, maybe. I don't know. It would be too depressing, I think, if I started to bring up some guillotine talk.
At least you're still alive.
There is that.
You didn't get your bids. You didn't get the guys you wanted in the bidding last night on waivers. But you're alive.
Guillotine update.
Maybe a guillotine update later.
We'll see. I really can't do anything until Sunday. I mean,
can't do anything more? Well, you could actually. You could make a couple moves. You just can't get Julio Jones now.
I'm gonna go.
Bulldog is leaving tomorrow from 716. Rob Ray and John Harris of Texans.com. How about Texans questions for Rob, Sabres questions for John Harris of Texans.com? We'll consider it. Joe Marino, Sal Capaccio, Friday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, thanks for listening. Sneaky Joe is next on WGR.
And tomorrow starts the same old thing again.
Gentlemen. Be free.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.